Welcome to Zeno Attribute, a Primary Attribute Industries subsidiary, by which I mean podcast spinoff. My name is Wit, and I will be the Broodmother, or Game Master, as it's known in a lot of other systems, and I use he, him pronouns.
Hi, my name's Adam. On this podcast, I'm playing as Paul. Paul's our brand new buddy friend. We both use he, him pronouns.
Hey, my name is Ian. You may recognize me from our other fine Primary Attribute Corporation podcasts. I use they, them pronouns, and I am playing Dr. Lachlan Ray, and using he, him pronouns. Dr. Ray is the shift's chief medical officer, and is Scottish, and I'm going to avoid doing the accent as long as possible, and then you're all going to get a real crash course in how bad I am at accents.
Lovely. All right. I'm Kells. I mostly use he, him pronouns. I am new to the Primary Attribute family. And I will be playing as Spencer Oz Osman, who will be your lead security associate today.
Love that name.
Mm-hmm. What a title.
Please rate 5 stars.
Yes. I forgot to say Oz's pronouns, also mostly he, him, minor mostly he, him. I think that covers everything.
Okay. hi, my name's Moss. I'm also new to the Primary Attribute family. I will be playing our android, Demir. I use they, them pronouns because I'm confused about gender. Demir is also confused about human genders and uses any pronouns.
Hit any pronoun to continue.
All right. So, welcome. This show is going to be a mini series of working class space horror. Think Alien, think Dead Space, think Event Horizon, that kind of genre. We're aiming for around 10 episodes in a pretty tight closed arc, although with the possibility of continuation if we are all having fun and anyone survives. We will be playing Mothership by Tuesday Night Games. It's a neat mid-level crunch game in zine form with lots of great community content and really easy to jump into, and especially easy to make characters fast after they die horribly. So I'll say that this is going to be a horror game. There are going to be some scary or tense moments. We will put content warnings in the episode descriptions and on the website once we actually, you know, have recorded the episodes and know what exactly warnings to worry about, depending on where the game goes. In general, it's not going to be gory, messy, shock, torture type horror. It'll be more creeping dread or skittering critters.
We're not here to yuck you out.
Right.
That is also the slogan of the corporation we work for.
You know, there will be a lot of, like, cutaways as the creature eats the person. Like in 70s space horror movies.
Scooby-Doo horror.
Yes. Without further ado, we'll get going. We begin 14 months ago in space at the L4 United Nations Joint Ventures shipyards. This is a stable Earth orbit shipyards in the Lagrange 4 point. It's kind of a giant, massive, chunky paper towel tube in space. Ships fly in, there's docking lattices all around the inside, cranes to move the ships to and from and to hold them steady while being worked on. In the rings of the tube, there's habitat space with promenades and malls and restaurants, diners, hotels, everything. The crew of the Martell, your ship, has been on shore leave here for a little bit. Well, as shore as you can get when you're still in space.
What's the ship called?
The Martell.
The Martell.
It is a mining ship, mining slash cargo hauling ship. It's meant to resupply deep space colonies and outposts, as well as bring their mined goods back home to Earth. So you've been enjoying your shore leave, but now it's time to get back to work. And you've all been called into the briefing room. You all work for the Tricont Corporation. They're kind of the they like to think of themselves as the spunky mom and pop underdogs of trillion dollar corporations.
I already hate them.
So you get a lot of speeches about how they're only 150 years old, but they're still in that startup mentality.
Oh my God, we should have called them Bartels.
Getting flashbacks.
I'm going to say three of us have worked for a company that's like, we're a startup. We have like 1,000 people.
That said, the benefits are a little bit better than the average one. And they, you know, the it's been this many days since the last gruesome accident sign. Mm-hmm. gets much higher numbers than a lot of the other massive multinational corporations.
We'll see about that.
Okay.
Give us time.
The secret to that is actually how you define an accident. In the HR system, we like to...
Right, intentional.
If someone deliberately jettisons the crew, is that an accident?
Not if it was intentional.
We just don't consider it to be an accident.
It's a necessary combat operation.
And what is intention?
So, you all have arrived first, just by random happenstance. Can you each describe your character? We'll start with Ian.
Excellent.
That's start. A great description.
Yeah, Lachlan is... early middle age-ish, 43. I don't know what middle age is these days.
That's actually a little young, on the young side. You're still spry youth.
Yeah, but got auburn hair and a short and stylish cut. Hi, you're just going to get a reading off of the sheet I sent Wit.
Sounds great.
Extremely carefully maintained and has perma stubble, which is always perma stubble. It is never a beard. It is never fully shaved. There's definitely a trimmer built precisely for this. Lean build, sharp cheekbones, moves around very gracefully, but in the same kind of way that, like, you know, a dancer or like an actor might, where it's like, I learned how to do this. So if you happen to know, if you're one of those people that like internalized moving gracefully, then you might, you know, notice some things and honestly dresses too nicely for the job he has.
Can I say I'm getting huge hot professor vibes?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Cool. I could see that. Yeah. Tailored clothing.
Is that a trope? You know,
high class fashions.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And even bothers to get his field gear tailored or customized.
Wow.
If he can at all. What's responsible money use? Clearly, it's responsible money use. So, yeah.
Okay.
Your local hot professor doctor.
Sweet. Boss.
All right. Demir. Honestly, I kind of feel like Demir was maybe just like timing it so that they showed up exactly on time.
Okay.
Because they like screwing with other people's perception of time. But
well, you know what? I'll put it this way. Frankly, you could be right on time and everyone else on the ship could be late.
It's just expected at this point.
An android is always on time.
Exactly. So you could have been on time already, and the four of you are on time and just waiting for everyone else. That's totally, yeah. You don't have a sloppy ship. You don't have like it. You all operate well, and you're comfortable with each other. So sometimes things are a little looser than.
Yeah, it's just kind of casual.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, it's not like we have like a manager leaning over us going like, you showed up 5 minutes late to the docking procedure.
We do. She's just not here yet.
Okay. And she always introduces it like, listen, not as your manager, but as your friend. I want to talk to you about when you get to the docking procedure.
So Demir.
Demir is an android. There are androids, I feel, in this world that do the whole fake human skin thing. Demir doesn't do that. Like, he's an android. Like, why do other people feel the need to like lie to themselves about what Demir is? Demir's wearing just like a very basic like crew uniform and pretty much always is wearing a red beanie, but very, very like
Jacques Cousteau,
very robot face, very like periodically you might see like lights in their circuits along their face lines. They tend to dress like in the ship crew uniform as much as possible. They don't really see the point of fashion, but they understand that there's like a level to fashion that humans feel very connected to.
Yeah, fair. This helps you bond with them.
Yeah.
You're part of the team.
Exactly. That's the beanie.
Yeah, exactly. Adam?
Uh-oh. Okay. Paul is blue. He says he dyes his skin so that he can, you know, blend into backgrounds better. He claims he was in the military. And,
okay.
He mostly just spends time at bars and, you know, wants to meet women, but you know, he's a pilot by trade, and he's out here making a little money.
And he's blue?
Can I headcanon it that you often sneak into, you know, weather report and studios and just blend into the background?
Yeah, he gets chroma keyed out of a lot of these scenes.
just so I can have it in my head, is he blue, like, kind of bluish, you know, the blue people of Appalachia, or like silver nitrate blue, or like Blue Man Group blue? Like, what?
So he couldn't afford a really great dye job.
Okay.
It's a little lighter than he'd like it to be. Okay. So it's coming in a bit more cerulean.
Sure.
But only under good lighting.
I have a lot of questions, but they're not important to the story right now. So
I assume his hair is also blue.
Has no hair.
Oh, like, okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Bald blue guy. Cool. We'll be working on our pipes and our giant trash can drums full of paint and.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got like maybe two friends that don't talk very much.
What?
Just, I'm going straight for Blue Man Group. That's all I can think of. You're bald and blue. You walked into this.
I was trying really hard to resolve like a specific pilot or engineer in sci-fi that you're referring to.
No.
Yeah, no. See, the thing is, I like the characters that play like pilots and engineers in sci-fi. Like, they're always like the best guys, right?
Sure.
Paul is not.
Yep. Paul's kind of a trash man.
Yeah, a little bit.
All trash fun. Team. All trash team.
Trash folks.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I'm recyclable.
We're on a mining frigate, like ostensibly, right?
Yeah, it's not the top tier folks who wind up on this kind of ship.
Sure.
Like you can be good and it's not a bad job at all. But like you go to sleep for a year. And then you wake up and you do a messy, hard job, and then you go to sleep for a year.
Yeah. What drives you to work here as opposed to one of the other space type jobs?
So peers in the field, forget that little ethical violation you made.
We empathized with our game runner person here and put it together ourselves. And now our characters are trash.
Yeah.
And lastly, we come to
speaking Kelsey. Of trash. Yeah. So Oz kind of saunters in maybe 4 minutes after this meeting was supposed to start.
Okay.
Say again?
You're still early.
Yeah, fine. Whatever. He's got like a half drunk cup of space caffeine foam in his hand. He's wearing his standard issue cargo pants, and he's just got his like black undershirt thing on up top. He's got a medium dark skin tone. He's got this little trash stash that he's keeping at trash levels, and his hair is this bright green mohawk that is just kind of lank. He looks like he hasn't slept well in a month or so, but he's real casual, and he just kind of flops in, puts his boots up on the desk, and turns to Demir and goes, "Hey, Big D," and kind of offers you a fist bump.
I've studied for this, and I fist bump.
We've practiced. Excellent. You're getting it. You're getting it, buddy. Good work.
I appreciate your input.
Big thumbs up, big slurp on his Starbucks.
I was thinking about it was going to be a big slurp on Demir.
Oh, good lord.
Nope. Reverse.
No, you don't lick androids. They taste like the cartridges for Switches.
And they don't like it.
Yeah, they also don't like it.
Okay. All right, so you all are waiting. You help yourself to some of the station coffee, which is universally reviled.
Mm-hmm.
But free. It is free, right?
It is free.
Okay.
Rumor has it you can shave through the reflection and the oil on the top of it. The other option is the tea, which is actually kind of just scoopings from the algae tank.
Mm.
The secret third option.
Bad.
This is a lot of nutrients.
Water.
Just kind of a grassy taste.
Yeah, the recycled station water.
The secret third option is that I plug myself into an outlet.
Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. All right. So you all are hanging out, shooting the breeze a little bit, catching up on your, months off. The next person in is the captain. Captain Chaz Chavez. She is a large, extremely butch woman, buzz cut with a flat top, wearing the crew overalls, like rolled up sleeves and legs. Pretty casual, but ready to business. She's got a thick arm full of paperwork and portable like data drive for the projector in here. She looks at you all, waves, nods, and takes a seat, and also kicks back, waiting for everyone else to come. You all have flown with this ship for a while. Captain Chavez has been in charge for almost a decade, probably. Again, she expects you all to do your job and do it well, but also doesn't care at all about formality and, necessarily cool. By the bookness, exactly.
Does she have a military background, or has she been working for most of her career?
She grew up in mining. She's a career miner. She's older now. She's in her probably late 60s, early 70s.
Okay, yeah.
And just kind of has aged out of the harder, grittier aspects of the job, but also has the experience to be in leadership and management.
Mm-hmm.
I have an important question related to self-preservation.
Yeah.
Is this her last job before she retires?
No.
Okay.
No. No. She could very well survive. Entirely depends on what you do. Everyone is survivable.
I'm not concerned about her exactly.
Oh.
Concerned about the ship going down.
Yeah,
you know. Dramatic
irony. Well, I'm still on it.
Nah. No, everything will be fine.
Oh, you'll definitely be off the ship then.
Left alone. Limited oxygen.
How's her sanity, like, doing a quick read on how stable she sounds? Does she seem pretty put together?
Yeah, she seems fine.
It's been primarily normal mining stuff.
Her sanity is fine. She might be a little on the stressed side.
Okay.
Yeah, you all have been with her for a while. So, you haven't gone through anything too crazy. Some skittering critters, but nothing too nothing requiring PTSD and medication and
perfect
therapy.
You love to see it.
Yeah. You don't know what those other stories are about. Other people just are making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Specialist Candy. He is a very, very tall, very large, just wall of a man. He would be probably played by what's his name, the fellow who played Hodor in Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, I also don't remember his name.
Yeah, but like actually, like not, he's not Hodor personality.
No,
he's just giant.
I'm glad you got there. I haven't seen Game of Thrones, and I was immediately assuming Steve Buscemi. So
no,
oh.
Have you seen Our Flag Means Death?
No. I hear I really should, though.
You really should, and the same actor as Hodor plays, I think the character's name is Wee John.
Yeah.
I have the name of the actor. It is Christian Nairn.
Thank you. Their powers combined.
He also is a DJ in Iceland.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Can Specialist Candy also be a DJ?
Is it? I don't remember now. I thought it was Iceland. I don't know.
I think he doesn't is matter. Irish, so...
But I thought he lit. Never mind. Doesn't matter.
I don't know his life. This is ours.
Can Specialist Candy also be a DJ in Iceland?
For a second, I thought that's what you meant.
Yes, Specialist Candy is a DJ from Iceland. Who is a miner. He's been with the ship for a while. You know him well. He is pretty quiet and stoic. His nickname came from people trying to tease him to get a rise out of him. It did not work.
No.
But
is his
stuck.
Is his name not actually Candy?
No.
Oh.
No. His name
do
is
we know
Kane.
What it is?
Kane.
Fucking incredible.
I see how they
that's
got
very
there.
Funny, actually. That's a good
God damn, that is good.
So then, yeah, he comes in, he nods, grabs just giant mug of coffee, sits down.
What's his primary function on the ship?
He's a miner.
Okay.
Heavy machinery, using the pod, using the walker, or, well, we need to figure that out. That's a minute here.
Okay.
Using the quantumly unstable vehicle.
The vehicles you have.
The bay.
Loading, unloading, helping with docking procedures, also just general ship board.
Okay.
I got my brain got like hooked up for a second on a guy named Kane using a walker.
That's right. Pretty good.
There's it took me a there. Second to figure out what you meant by walker.
Sure.
That's fair. It's fair. Very fair. Very fair. Next up is a specialist, Billy Hopper. Billy is really young. Billy is brand new. None of you have worked with Billy before. You've done a few training exercises over the last couple months on shore leave, but otherwise, fresh baby face.
Is Billy short for William?
Probably.
Okay, cool. Mostly, I'm on HR. I just told
Oh, sure,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, is this Billy as in William or Billy as in Eilish?
Or Billiam.
Okay.
Probably more like, it's also the future, so you have no idea. It could be billiards.
What are Billy's pronouns?
He, him.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, future times, Billy could be long for Billy.
Sure.
Then there's security consultant Chintra Babu. Babu.
Okay.
Chintra Babu.
Cool. What are they like?
I got like 75% of that. All right.
They are they're a security consultant. They work under you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, am I their boss?
Yes, you are their boss.
Weird.
They're yeah, congrats. You're in management kind of. Yeah, they're also new. You've worked with them a little bit, but don't know them super well.
Mm-hmm.
They're from India. They're you do know that they are they're a boxer.
Oh, cool.
And good at like crowd control type stuff.
That's a very cool hobby. Point of order for the setting.
Yes.
How far in the future are we, and how irrelevant are current Earth political entities?
You are in the year 2279.
2279.
The countries exist, but they're really all more like states under the United Nations.
Okay.
There's squabbles and wars, but it's like they're really minor at this stage.
Okay. We're closer to like the Federated Earth Alliance than not.
Well, no, because the real division is by corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Countries make the laws that the corporations operate under, but the corporations are the real power now.
Mm-hmm.
All the last major wars have been corporation versus corporation. The only spaceship battles have been between corporations, not between countries.
Gotcha.
So what country you're from doesn't matter. You are a citizen of Tricont Enterprises.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So the Great Irish Reunification has occurred.
Yes.
Cool.
Absolutely. Excellent.
And it's canon.
Finally, the last member of your crew who shows up today is Doc Rhea Parata. That's RIAPARATA. She's your geologist. She is a doctor, but you wouldn't know it to look at her by dress. And she's the opposite of Ian's look.
Shabby chic,
absolutely. Okay. Just always rocks in her pocket.
Yes.
Goblin core?
Chisel and hammer tucked into her belt.
Dwarf core.
Yeah, very dwarf core.
Okay, I love her.
Yeah, and she's Asian Pacific Islander, mostly Maori from New Zealand.
Oh, cool.
And that's it. Your last member of the crew, the space was not filled, unfortunately.
Hmm. Okay.
Captain Chavez speaks up. Well, actually, I should not say that because she would not like that. Captain Chaz speaks up and says, all right, well, this is all we got right now. We got a crew of 9 going out. We've got a sheaf of personnel files here if you want to take a look and see if we want to snag someone else on our way out the door to round out the crew. But otherwise, I think we're all set. Hope you all had a wonderful and restful time out there. Didn't drink and party too hard. She looks at Paul.
That's in character.
Yeah, it's what?
Yeah, you're fine.
Oh. I read 8,000 new Wikipedia articles. They were very interesting.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear all about them, huh?
Paul's nearly dozed off, just in the process of pouring sugar into his coffee.
Oz is going to just kind of reach forward with his foot and just sort of jostle Paul's chair really quickly.
Sugar's everywhere now.
I'm going to...
You want space ants? This is how you get space ants.
I'd like to take the personnel files and look through them.
Okay.
Do we have... Is Paul our engineer in addition to being our pilot?
Well, he's versed in mechanical repair. He's got vehicle specialization.
Okay.
So, and, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The two mining specialists are also pretty well versed in the ship.
Gotcha.
I imagine he's not the only pilot. Well, wait. Or at least not the only one with pilot skills.
The captain could also pilot.
Yeah.
I can drive.
You can drive.
It's different.
You sure can, bud.
What is it that we're headed off to do? Yeah.
Go ahead. So basically what I'll say here, the personnel files, I do not have characters prepared for this. This is an option for you to round out the crew if you feel like you need somebody else. An engineer would certainly be an option for that.
Let's find out what we're doing before we decide who or what we need.
Chaz nods and turns on the holo projector.
And, vacation photos. I love this.
God. I mean, pre-vacation photos, buddy. All right. A horrible, grainy hologram pops up. Not the best quality image here. Not 4K at all.
Hey, 240p is high quality.
Is it especially horrible and grainy to our eyes, or is this what holograms look like?
It is what holograms look like.
Okay.
Great. Tech sucks.
Cool.
This is 70s space horror future.
Mm-hmm.
The tech is bad. It's all big clunky boxes with chunky keys and CRT monitors, and the few holograms are all really grainy and bad.
Nice.
Yeah. She pops it on, and up pops a bright blue star with two other pretty bright stars right behind it, but still fairly distant away.
Mm-hmm.
And surrounding this blue star is clearly a lot of fuzzy space debris. There's almost concentric rings around this sun.
Mm-hmm.
She says, all right, this is the Fomal Halt system.
Mm-hmm.
It is a star 25 light years away from here. There is a extremely large asteroid field around it, which our lovely employers have claimed and begun to tap. The system had a very violent past and is very, very rich in rare earth elements and rare earth metals and rare earth magnets.
Ooh.
In particular, she clicks the clicker and the image changes. There is a planet, probably a rogue planet, that crashed into the asteroid field and broke up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these chunks of planet are exceptionally rich, even more so than the rest of the asteroid field around them. And we are tapping those and mining them. The base has already been established and running for 2 years now. They finally have their first real solid supply of cargo to come back. Our job is to go out there, resupply them, help them out with a few things that they need a larger ship to do, make sure everything's going okay, and bring back the riches. It should be, frankly, a cakewalk. We're not expecting anything out of the ordinary with this one. The colony's stable. Haven't heard any peeps from them about anything wrong. Yeah, you're pretty much just haulers on this one, too. You're not even going to have to do that much mining or exploration yourselves. So, yeah, we're looking at a 14-month trip out. Shouldn't be too bad. Sorry, Demira. It's going to be a bit alone for yourself, but, you know, you got a lot of reading to do.
Oh, yes. You know that I quite like those long periods of non-interaction.
Certainly. All right. So the image on the screen now is of a clearly what looks like a planet that has been fractured into two chunks. Mm-hmm. So you still have like the hemispherical outside, mm-hmm. but then like a craggy underside for the chunks. And they're all still floating in kind of spherical shape, roughly. And there's lots of other debris and asteroids around. You also see like a typical ring and rod type space station. So like a ring with a rod through the middle. Ring rotates for gravity, and that's where the habitat stuff is. And then cargo and operations and stuff is in the rod. Yeah, there's a station population of nearly 1,000. The only thing of possible danger or risk in the area is that one of our rival companies, Hypodyne Industries, they snagged a claim and fought it in court on the outer ring. So there's three rings of asteroids in the system. They own the outer one. We own the inner two. They have a small listening post, pretty much just to spy on us. But you know, it's not a pleasant relationship out there. But again, there should just be a handful of people on that station. It's pretty much just a, you know, observation post.
Sure. Cap, you mentioned that the system has a quote-unquote violent past. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that.
Well, it's pretty weird for a system to have three asteroid belts.
Sure.
Like, one is pretty common. Two is not unheard of, but a lot. And this is three. Not only that, but the asteroids are really dense and there's a lot of them close together. It seems like several solar systems may have crashed into each other, you know, in the millions of years ago.
Cool. So which also explains like gunfire violence.
Didn't mean to startle you.
No. It's cool.
Yeah, no, that kind of cosmologically violent, not humanity violent.
Sounds good. Love that.
A few other things of note. You all know the Lyssae.
What about them?
You all know of the Lyssae. They are the semi-psychic alien species that humanity has encountered. They are kind of semi-reptilian, but very like smooth. None of you have ever met one. Turns out that when sapient species grow up on different planets, they just don't have a lot in common. So even if they're really interested in each other and like, oh, this is new, strange. Yeah, it just, they just rub each other the wrong way. So
kind of how my last relationship went.
Yeah. Bad rubbing, huh? That'll be your next pad. Yeah. So humanity and the Lyssae just have never really clicked. We have a diplomatic relationship with them, and some trade, but not much more.
We keep saying we'll hang out, and we never do.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get coffee.
So how do they relate to the system?
There's a couple of ruins of old habitation on this dead planet. Seems to have been after the breakup. But I don't know. Maybe they tried mining it. I just bring it up as a point of note and interest. What else? There's two other stars. This is actually a trinary star system. There's two other stars that are within a light year of it. We have no bases there, but again, just another thing of note. Yeah, that's the gist of it. Oh, well, actually, I mean, this is more, again, of interest, and you'll find this out, you know, when you read all the briefing materials on the way out. But one really fascinating scientific feature of this system is the, after the planet broke up, it seems that the planetoids, the chunks, have been able to maintain some kind of atmosphere on them. They seem to still be geologically active, even though they are in smaller chunks, not full planets. So there is some flora and fauna on them, which is rather strange for asteroids or planetoids. That'll certainly be something to.
So take your Zyrtec is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. all small, simple life, nothing of consequence really. Though it would certainly be of scientific interest. Doctor, if you want to take a look at some of that, any research you want to do, the company would be more than happy to compensate for.
I'm excited to do it.
All right. Well, it's a milk run.
All right.
Spend most of our time sleeping. Any questions, concerns?
So it's future times. We've got radios. Future times.
Got radios.
What is the cell phone situation? I know we don't have cell phones.
You have comms. They're more encrypted, more tight band radios that you can really set specific restricted channels to. So if you want to talk among the crew separated from each other, that's no problem at all. There might be, you know, plot or random interference. There may also be, you know, it's a little easier for people to overhear you than with like a cell phone, but yeah. And so, they're chunky.
Right. So, before heading to, the cryo chamber, whatever we're doing, is it a cryo situation or is it just like
yes,
sleepy
you will
space?
Be cryoed. You will be okay. Boarding the ship. Hyper you will sleep. Be awake for like a week, on your way out. Once you're outside of, the heavy gravity well, you'll go to hyperspace, make sure everything's stable there, and then go take a nap for 14 months.
Right. So Paul's going to message that girl that he met at the bar last night that he's about to go on active duty and just like lock his apartment doors from the outside.
Okay.
Like just, all right. I'm good, you know. So, you know, we should probably just break up for now.
This was not a surprise to you. This should not have come as a surprise to
oh,
you.
Oh, no. It's not, but...
It may come as a surprise to her.
Yeah.
Paul right. doesn't strike me as a great communicator.
No.
I do imagine on the other end, she just being like, it was one night?
Yeah. It was one
I
night.
Don't care?
Also, she lives on a space station?
Yeah.
Like, this happens.
Yeah, probably pretty used to it.
Yeah.
You're going to come back and she'll have like taken all of your stuff and sold it on Space Craigslist.
Bought some tasteful things instead.
But yeah, thing is, he might want to hook up with her later. He hasn't decided yet.
Well, you'll find out okay. in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck.
Any last concerns? Did you want to see about hiring some last minute help?
I mean, it kind of sounds like we have all the bases covered.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. How's that vacuum cleaner doing?
Beg your pardon?
Did we not have an automatic vacuum cleaner for the...
That's not in the do. Personnel
yeah, but that's not in the personnel files, no.
Yeah.
That's non-sentient
so far.
Hardware.
Yeah, we only put mostly sentient people into the personnel files here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They made an exception for you, though, Paul.
Oh, thanks. Ass.
All right. Any last concerns before departing? All right.
Because I need to use it for my future pissing match with Demir about authority.
How dare you?
Do we have any other officers on the ship besides the captain and myself who half counts?
Yeah. What is kind of the structure of command here?
Yeah.
That would be good to
yes.
know.
Yes. So I was joking when I said that Demir was HR. Your technical term would be XO. You are the second in command, technically.
Oh, cool. Number one.
It's a little fraught because you're also a robot, and like people might not fully respect that as much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry to put it out there that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Captain Demir Lachlan, and then.
Yeah, although I mean you and Lachlan Demir are basically the same level. Like it's too flat. The leadership is too flat. This is not a military leadership. It's
yeah. We have the head and the hands up here. What else do we need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Odds is at least deferred to in all security matters.
Right. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Hey Odds, did you make sure to feed your 14 cats before you showed up today?
Oh, yeah, I raided your fridge, so they're good.
Cannot go into cryosleep fast enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the ship. So you all head out to...
Oh, shit, we should have gotten an intern. Never mind.
I like that we're already picking fights.
Yeah.
Gotta have the banter.
I get the sense that Paul and Oz don't really enjoy one another.
Yeah. I mean, Oz is an authentic character and Paul resents him for that.
Fair.
Having feelings and shit. Mm-hmm. You share with others.
All right. So we have the hallway walk a la The Right Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or every action movie ever, with this motley crew going down the corridor. You get to the docking hatch, and out the big windows, you see them maneuvering the Martell into position. It's always a little uncomfortable to see the cranes just yanking your ship around.
Yeah.
This has happened dozens and dozens of times. It's always a
little... But also, like, get your hands off my ship.
Yeah.
And also, it's just a huge ship, and it's going to get really close to us before it stops.
It's going to get real close to you. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it just look like one of those carnival arcade games where it's like shaking wildly while it jostles around until it just drops it down a chute?
Yeah.
It also keeps slipping and they have to grab it again.
This part always makes me want popcorn.
But eventually the ship gets into the clamps, brought forward, seals lock, air hisses, and you all are able to board. The Martell is a pretty standard class of ship. Like the space station itself, it is also a long tube.
It's a very tube-centered society we have out here in space. It's a very tube-centered society.
Well, there's a reason for that. They're simple structures.
It's tubular.
It's probably kind of like trains. They just decided to use up the amount of space that they could to the best. Like
exactly. Sure. What do you want? A tube
exploit
or a sphere?
Every square cube.
Yeah.
Spheres are much harder to land. So
Harder to land. You're also not going to land the Martell though on most things. Maybe on an asteroid. You definitely cannot take off from a planetary surface.
That's quitter talk.
We've been specifically discouraged in the past from doing that.
The Martell is quite a large ship. Again, it's just a long tube. The back has a bit more structure where the engines are. There's also some structure kind of more along the middle where the hab section is. And then there is a giant mining laser mounted to the top, and a smaller but deadlier autocannon mounted on the bottom. But again, it's a tube. It can rotate. Top and bottom are kind of meaningless terms. There is a...
It's also what I told my last hookup.
Wow.
Doing okay over there, buddy.
Wow, that was a... Whew, okay.
That was good, but also...
I think, I think Demir just reaches over and pats Oz on the shoulder.
The middle, right in the middle, is a section where the utility pod, your small shuttle, can come in and out. That is also where the docking hatch is, the main docking hatch. Then in front of that, there is the science and medical, and in front of that is the cockpit bridge. The interesting thing about the Martell and this class of ship is that it attaches the cargo externally. The cargo is all loaded into a giant drum, kind of like a soup can, but, you know, city block sized, with a hole in the middle. The Martell will fly into that hole.
It's so goddamn hot.
Yeah, it's extremely sexual.
Yeah, every time especially Paul watches it.
Especially the Barry White switch
mandatory
that you have
Barry
installed.
Yeah.
It's like corporate mandated.
It's a little...
It actually won't let you engage the cargo locks unless you're playing that album.
Mm-hmm. It's the emergency alert sound, like when the klaxons start to go off.
Alert, Barry White, not engaged.
So the ship flies into the can. The bridge pokes out a little bit to maintain visibility, and then the whole thing locks on. This gives the ship loaded with cargo the appearance of a cartoon mallet.
beautiful.
Yeah.
Poetry in motion.
Yeah. Now, the ship is actually shockingly fast and maneuverable despite its size. And the benefit, one benefit to the structure of the can at the front of the ship like that, is that it acts like a fulcrum for the ship to rotate around when it needs to flip to do slow down procedures. So it actually kind of makes the ship slightly more maneuverable having it this way. She's a good ship. You've had her for a long while. And yeah, take a little while to reacquaint yourselves. Although, of course, you drop by from time to time and have, you know, training and maintenance and stuff during their shore leave.
The laser and the autocannon, are those on the front bridge part of the ship that sticks out past the cargo? Or are they?
No, they're on slightly raised parts in the middle of the ship.
Okay.
So they can fire over and under the can, although there is a bit of a blind spot directly in front of the ship. Although if something is directly that close in front of the ship, you are going to have other problems.
You're fucked.
Anyway.
Yeah. You were having a bad problem. You will not go to space today.
You are generally, for like tactical and for, you know, the mining purposes, you're going to want to use both of those like broadsides.
That makes sense.
They can fire any directions. They're on full pivots, but broadsides is the, you're going to have the best accuracy and arcs.
Cool.
All right. Do we have a ship pet? A Jonesy?
Oh, that's a great question. Do you have a ship pet?
I thought that was the vacuum.
That could be the vacuum.
Could be the vacuum.
Yeah, but something excuse about having a pet that ages normally so you don't get so disconnected from the time difference. Insert alien reference.
Do we want it to be a free roaming pet, or do we want it to be like an African clawed frog that lives in a tank?
Both are valid choices.
Honestly, a free roaming mouser might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I imagine stuff sneaks onto the ship over in dock.
Do we have a Jack Russell, or is that not enough? Let's not have a Jack Russell. That would be, they need way more attention and enrichment than a spaceship is going to provide.
Imagine a Zach Russell just read a book. Zero-G. Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's just have a Tegu. With a little heat vest.
Just a furious Tegu.
No, I think, I like the sound of a cat.
Yeah.
Cat seems like a good option. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe lightly gene modded to live longer.
Oh, the cat will go into a pod with one of you.
Yeah. Cat has pod.
Ah, fair enough.
And when you're frozen, you don't age. Like, well, okay. The company says when you're frozen, you don't age. That's not strictly true. You do age a little bit, but it does reduce. Time spent in pods does not significantly reduce your total viable lifespan.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Unless you get that Planet of the Apes wake up call.
Or you know, if the android on your ship fucks up during the freezing procedure or unfreezing procedure. Yeah.
All right, now we get to spend several episodes of
Fine, Moss, you took crowd pod Moss. Specialization, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, okay, great.
What color is our cat and what is its name?
This is an important question.
I want him to be a calico.
Okay.
Can the name be Campbell?
I love it.
Yes.
Yep.
All right.
Campbell the calico cat.
Nobody email us about male calico cats. We know.
That's specifically why I said it. Thank you.
Nobody email us. Okay.
So Campbell comes over. I think Campbell especially loves to ride on Candy's shoulders.
Yes.
Because he likes to be extra tall.
Yes.
That's fair.
Candy, being the quiet, unfazable type, definitely bonds with cats very well. So they have a good bond. But Campbell loves everyone. Like, you're all in with Campbell.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
We all love Campbell. Campbell loves everyone.
Just if you're looking for Campbell, find Candy first. Yeah. So you all boot up the ship, start all the computer up and everything, make sure everything's loaded and locked and shipshape in Bristol fashion. Again, you've been doing maintenance the whole time, so it's not too bad. The trip out is quick, uneventful, and eventually you get to hyperspace. Normally I would make you do some rolls here, but I'm not going to do that.
What?
Because to not die in hyperspace. But we're not going to do that because that would be boring.
Imagine if we just immediately died.
Yeah, pardon what?
No, weird stuff can happen, or you can fall out of hyperspace, or there's an infestation, or who knows?
Planet of the Apes thing.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes thing, exactly.
We go insane, just hard our own eyeballs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the normal hyperspace thing.
But you're the only one who knows that, and you are sworn to secrecy.
Then they're going to have to reset the accident counter.
So during hyperspace, you all are in your pods. It's very nothing. Moss.
Yes.
Demir. What do you do during the 14 months?
I feel like
Don't go into super detail, but
I'm going to give you a piece by piece laydown of every single minute.
This is there.
All right, we're going to make rolls.
Agenda.
We're going to roll for all of it.
Good God.
Sorry, Moss, everyone else should just leave. We'll get you all back on the podcast next year.
Yeah, 14 months. No, I feel like Demir, has like a good working relationship with Martel, the ship.
Sure.
I mean, insofar as like an android and a ship can have a good working relationship, like we're both made out of the same stuff, but like there's definitely different things going on in our lives.
Is anybody else recalling Futurama?
I have yet to watch Futurama.
Does Sigourney Weaver voice the ship?
Please?
I don't know who voiced that ship.
I think it was Sigourney Weaver for that episode, if you're thinking of the weird Valentine's episode.
Yes, I am.
Hell yeah. This has been Futurama talk.
That definitely adjusts the perspective on that one.
So I often just, I like to go around the ship to sort of check on and make sure that things are not angrily flashing red lights at me. Make sure that Martel is maybe like reporting the accurate information in terms of like what I'm seeing. And also obviously make sure that like the life signs on my meat coworkers, are looking good. There's nothing like
that
again,
is the preferred
no
term.
Red lights. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's what you'll like.
Yeah.
Meet coworkers.
Uh-huh.
Aside from that, I read so much space Wikipedia. Love it. I do not use this for anything. I just like to know.
Okay. Well, you actually do find out some interesting things during your space Wikipedia reading.
Excellent.
You happen to read a little bit about the star system Fomalhaut. Fomalhaut. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get this so wrong. It's real hard to pronounce. This is a real star system, and I am trying to maintain the science of it as accurately as I can.
That makes one of us.
Indeed, all the things I said is a blue star, triple trinary system. It has three asteroid belts that are fucking massive compared to anything we've seen anywhere else in space. And it has an extremely violent past. It's a really weird star system. It's also, it's one of the brightest stars in the sky. It has been historically significant across Earth's history, across cultures. The Persians called it one of the four royal stars. The Greeks and Romans called it the mouth of the southern fish, or the mouth of the whale. The Arabs called it the first frog.
Cool.
It has a lot of sea-based mythology around it. When they discovered the asteroid rings, New Scientist magazine back in the early 21st century called it the Great Eye of Sauron.
Yes, cool.
The three asteroid belts around the star looked like a giant evil red eye with a blue center. Interestingly, it was also an extremely significant star in Native American megaliths and cairns.
Cool.
Yeah. The formal name of one of the other stars is actually Dagon.
Ooh.
The Babylonian Semitic fish deity, who also features prominently in the H.P. Lovecraft novels. stories, short stories from the early 20th century.
And that's one of the other ones in the Trinary system?
Yes, yes, that's one of the other ones.
What's the main one? Is that just Fomalhaut?
Fomalhaut.
Cool.
F-O-M-A-L-H-A-U-T.
Cool.
And that's from from the Arabic name for it, which is Fomalhaut.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't Dagon technically called like Fomalhaut B or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Moss the person also read on the Wikipedia page.
So it this all runs through you and you're like, huh, it's a lot of interestingly auspicious, like, intense myths around it.
I mean, it's fun to go to a star system that you've heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird they printed out the whole Wikipedia article in this briefing packet, but I'm not going to complain.
Well, no, you have better than the Wikipedia article. You have actual reports and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I just like that they included the mythology section in our briefing.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
You know, cultural importance.
Dimir just downloaded that on their way out the door. It's like, I'm going to want this later.
Yeah, well, that's Dimir's hobby. Yeah. Is reading space Wikipedia.
For sure.
Yeah. It's also, like, interesting to read about, human culture interacting with, it's just a star. It's not like it's going to, like, bring about the end times, but so much of human history is around that. So maybe I play down the superstition parts of the information that I learn if I end up providing this information additionally.
How does an android mind handle it when some kid gets on the Wikipedia page and starts editing it, particularly around that chunk about the southern fish mouth?
I can edit so much faster.
Just gonna put that back.
Yeah, the revision history on space Wikipedia is a fucking nightmare.
So they don't just assume that it's true.
Oh, no.
Because it's data.
No, they follow all the links.
Yeah. Okay.
And I imagine we have science databases that we synchronize before we leave every time, too. Yeah. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a big fan of digging into like the cited, like, what are your sources here? Mm-hmm. Like this Wikipedia link that you're using goes to a website that I think maybe someone made in fourth grade. So I don't think we're going to excise that. it's fun. It's fun to edit.
Stop making me like Dimir.
The link you're linking to cites Wikipedia as its source. So that's circular. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, it's an interesting star, and you're excited to be here. Putting words in your mouth.
Oh, I am, though. I'm very pleased to experience this.
14 months pass, and it's time to wake everyone up. This is a simple procedure, done it a million times.
So we don't age.
No.
But how much stubble does develop?
None. Almost none. Like a day.
Okay.
Yeah, you're stasis.
If you shave regularly, or if you like groom your beard and keep it neat, you'll want to shave after. But like wit would probably not care.
Yeah. So we look almost the same.
Yeah.
Oz has to do some trash stats maintenance.
Yeah. Oz's beard actually grows in really thick when he doesn't maintain it.
Perfect.
Adorable. Yeah.
Campbell was actually stretching right at the moment. And just had like one leg sticking out real far.
14 months of drumstick.
Yeah.
I like to think that for that extra human touch, I actually, like, before I hit the okay, wake everyone up button, I actually start a pot of coffee or a pot of space coffee foam.
That's really nice.
I know these people. They run on Dunkin's. Yeah. Space Dunkin's.
We all wake up to the smell of hot garbage coffee.
This is our most socially acceptable addiction. So,
Space Dunkin's is the third largest corporation in the
set. Yeah,
we have a deal.
Yeah, you do like stimulants and stuff are totally allowed. Like you have alcohol on board. It's probably like the shittiest, cheapest beer. That like
it's just all those little tiny like airplane bottle sizes of Fireball whiskey.
Yeah it disincentivizes and makes challenging getting too drunk.
I was going to ask just 100 who here
cases of Bud Light.
I was going to ask who on the ship tries to ferment their own beer out of like socks or whatever, and then I realized it was probably Paul, but I'll let Adam explore that journey.
Oh, it would totally be Paul, but
frankly, that sounds like a lovely job for the whole crew to come together on, and something that Chaz would absolutely support as a crew team building project.
It's got to stay out of my engine room, and it's got to stay away from the computers. And
oh yeah, you don't want it. So in your bunk,
got it.
Yeah. In the cargo hold.
Nah, yeah, you logger it in the cargo hold.
Lachlan has one of those obligatory science setups with all the beakers and tubes and whatever, and it's actually just ferment. It's actually just distilling scotch. Sure. They do not share.
Yes.
Everyone just assumes it's a chemical test. It never is.
This is all fine and standard on most ships, and on your ship, it is stamp sealed and approved by the captain. So don't even worry about it.
This is the coolest place any of us has ever worked.
Yeah, you know, because like you have a couple weeks, or you have like a week or so on the way out, and then you go to sleep for a bunch of time. So that's a perfect time for your beer to age.
Yeah. That's true.
So like, yeah, you know, quickly do the brewing on your way out, then bottle it and age it. You wake up, you got some good stuff.
I literally just thought about the incredible experience of, you know, how when you drink stuff in zero G, it's like in little bubbles in the air, and just having a little having a little party where you're just jumping around space with straws.
In the meantime, you all wake up. It's another beautiful day to be a space miner.
I imagine they're a little bit cheap with certain things on the ship. Like there's probably like a union rule or so. Oh, are we union?
No. No, this is bad hypercapitalist.
Yeah.
Your union in that you lucked into a ship with a good boss is also thinks of herself as a worker.
Pseudo union.
Like, yeah.
Okay. So
like your direct boss is more on your side than on the company's side.
Okay. So I imagine that there's like a law keeping corporate in check, but they kind of let it slide. Like the gravity is they could have the gravity up a little higher, but
keeping
everything spinning is a little bit expensive. Yeah. So it doesn't spin quite the right rate.
Yeah.
And the oxygen could be a little cleaner. They haven't really changed the filters in a while.
It's not currently killing anyone.
Yeah. No, oh god, it's mildly irksome.
Yeah, it's not harmful, but they're just within the gray area of safety.
Of course.
Yeah, like every corporation in a non-union setting.
Yeah, the fact that the spinning isn't quite up to sync means that you're always slightly falling away from the direction of the spin, but slightly.
Uh-huh. That sounds disorienting. Yeah. I love it.
It's just like a slight drift you have to get used to.
Just have a bit of vertigo forever.
Yeah, imagine being on a wave on the sea, but the wave never stops going in one direction.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like a boat rocking back and forth, but just always rocking forever in the one direction.
Oh, I imagine done this enough that we're used to it. But
oh yeah, absolutely. Oh, you've been on here for years. Yeah. In fact, frankly, it probably takes you more time to get back to the station level than to this.
It's just like a big hammock.
So our coffee cups don't. Okay.
You fill your coffee cups half full.
Yeah.
There's a slant to the water level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't expect anything to be exactly where we left it.
Exactly.
We all have novelty coffee cups because the only ones that come large enough.
Well, Adam, do you want to say what Paul's coffee mug is? Because I just noticed it in your drawing.
Oh, yeah. It's a yellow mug with a black sans serif rounded tip lettering that just says piss.
That's good. For you. That's really fun.
Would you like me to design you a mug that's okay? Yep.
It's too late. It's happening.
Yep.
It's a piss mug.
Yep. Yep. It's real good. I, for some reason, I absolutely did not notice it, even though it is front and center of the frame.
Yeah.
Listeners, that'll all be on our social media and in the show notes.
What does Oz's coffee cup look like?
I think Oz has... Would he be able to, like, sneak a big gulp from a gas station onto the ship?
Probably not.
Okay.
Although, I mean, you could have, like, a... You could have like a similar, more permanent use, like sippy cup.
Could he have like a blender that's just the pitcher part of the blender?
Do you just want a heavy duty big gulp?
He's exploring the boundaries of coffee cup.
Yes, you can, but it's not like an upright pitcher. It's okay. More like a large bullet mixer.
Sure.
Because this is the future and we're in space. Right.
I don't know. So whatever it's like, it's large and clunky and he slurps on it obnoxiously.
It's like a pineapple sized egg shaped mug.
Great.
Or a thermos type mm-hmm. thing.
Yep. Adore this mug. I can make it on Redbubble. Okay.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
we have merch.
That's podcast merch. There we go.
There we go. Merch, baby.
Oh God!
I emailed.
Okay, this is actually really good merch, though. Yeah. I don't want one. Anyway, carry on. It's me. I'm in control. I'm the runner of the show.
Hey, so, is Paul wearing pants in this photo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I could have put more time into texturing them and maybe making them a different color from his skin, but
yeah, that was my concern.
Yeah.
Jeggings.
Okay, so you all are awake, you're enjoying your nicely aged beer. it came out all right this time. Yeah, pretty good. Adam, what's the variety?
So hops aren't in great supply this time of year, so we're leaning heavily on the lagering and the malt. And it's like a really just dank lager that doesn't feel refreshing at all. It's like if a beer could be greasy.
Not our best work, I would say. Not our best work.
Okay. No, not so the best work.
It's the algae scum IPA.
A little bit. Oh, yeah. And there's like a faint hint, like a little bit of a like a lactobacillicate got in there. Like just a little is that how you pronounce that?
I think so.
Yeah, just a little bit of that mold, so it's like the tail end goes a little bitter, like
sure,
like get that dish rag kind of flavor in there.
Yes. Listen, any job where I can wake up and immediately have a mug of beer, I'm having a good day.
Yeah, so you all are hanging out and having a good time, stretching. That is one thing, you don't age, but you do get an awful, like, I slept and did not move at all in the night sort of feel.
And there's no avoiding that.
But it, takes a couple days to get past, but, you're back in the swing of things.
At least refreshed. My hangover's gone.
And it's time to drop out of hyperspace.
Woo! I'll be in the cockpit.
Yep.
That sounds right.
Captain heads the cockpit.
Well, head up there too. I figure most of us do.
Yep. Yeah. Want to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So the wavy, fuzzy light lines out the window. It's weird. Hyperspace is not a pleasant look here. It's not like Star Wars or Star Trek warp or hyperspace. It's darker and cloudier and more flashing lights, and definitely trigger warning for seizure susceptibility,
migraines.
Yeah, and definitely migraines. So you typically don't look outside during hyperspace. Like you'll have cameras and stuff, but there's also nothing to see because you're not really going through space, so it's not like you're worried about running into anything. But you see a little bit of it before it fades back to real space, and you are bathed in extremely bright blue light. Fomalhaut is twice the size of Earth's sun, and as an early class A hydrogen burning star. It burns very hot and very bright. Mm. As I said, it's one of the brightest stars in our night sky.
Nice.
Fascinating consequence of this. Your lovely pilot seems to absolutely disappear into his chair. It's actually a fascinating look in that you are almost exactly the same shade as the light.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Notate on your character sheet that while you are in natural light in this solar system, you roll for hiding or sneaking with advantage.
Ooh, neat trick.
That's fun.
Paul, your camouflage, it's working.
It's working.
This has never happened before.
We thought you were lying.
You just needed the right star.
Yeah.
You just needed the right star.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very pretty. There's also a lot of rocks out there. So it's worth noting that in real life, asteroid belts and asteroid fields are not like in science fiction. There is a lot of space between the rocks. It's just an area where rocks are more common and they're kind of all going in the same direction, but it's not like difficulty navigating through type close.
Okay. Yeah. And they don't move randomly.
Yeah.
They're not going to get
you. They're pretty stable orbits. They pretty rarely crash into each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually much closer to fake sci-fi asteroid field than any you've ever seen or heard of. It's still not.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, you know, things are far apart, but it actually makes you a little nervous to be flying into it in a way that you would not be quite to this degree. You're getting your bearings. And then a lot of things start to go wrong at once. There is a proximity klaxon. Something is inbound to you. You're being scanned by three different sources. There are about 8 different people trying to raise you all on communications.
From off ship?
From off ship,
okay.
Yes. Sensors, or the basic sensors, detect a growing debris field from an explosion.
Mm.
As well as the fact that there are only 4 instead of 5 planetoids in a cluster.
Seems bad.
Yeah. A lot going on here.
Yeah.
A lot going on here. So, the most immediate concern would probably be the proximity incoming object alert. But if you have questions or want to do other things, let me know.
Well, first thing Paul's going to do is shut off those noisemakers when he can.
Okay.
Is that going to take a minute?
No. You know. And it's an easy, acknowledged. Yeah.
Ugh. Too loud.
Yeah.
Too loud for the morning. Haven't finished my beer and or coffee yet.
So Captain shouts, what's coming at us?
I don't know yet.
God. Do we have a separate sensor station?
Yes. Yes.
Well, first I'm going to look at Demir, because Demir is probably way better at using that thing than I am. But if Demir's not moving toward it, then I will.
That's an excellent point. I'm going to hop on to the sensor station just because I have a good working relationship with the ship and also computers.
Absolutely.
First
roll of the game. We got to get one roll in.
One roll per episode.
For this session. Yeah.
It's a good ratio.
Our inaugural roll. Make it loud.
So Moss, I need a computer's roll, which will be intellect plus computers. Computers is 10%. And you want to roll under that.
On percentile?
Yes, on percentile.
Okay. Math is difficult sometimes. My intellect is 31. And so I would want
plus
to 10, roll
under 41.
I would want to roll under 41. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ooh. I have bad news. I got a 9 and an 8.
Wow.
Mm.
It's good that you didn't get a 99, because a 99 is a botch, a critical failure.
Christ.
This is just a failure. So you don't know what blew up, although it's small. Probably okay. A ship. You absolutely cannot find the fifth planetoid. Like, it's, you know, it's real big. It shouldn't just go away. You're having a hard time telling who's who on the sensors, like, who are on the communications.
Mm-hmm.
I will, though, say, because the klaxons are going off and it's an alert, you are very able to easily read off what is happening with the alert. There is a large shower of rock headed directly towards your ship from the asteroid belt.
Oop.
It is mostly tiny pebbles, but there are a few big chunks.
Okay. Although
both of those are equally dangerous to you.
Honestly, I feel like I just... Can I, like, bounce that information over to Paul's computer, or should I
yep.
specifically... Okay, perfect. Yeah. I take a screenshot, send it over. Yeah. I could probably go, like, take evasive action this direction, but, like, he's the one who can figure out the best evasive action to take, knowing the ship. So I'm just like, cheers, here's the information that I got from this.
I'm sure that that actually translates to just fast typing, because I don't think our computers are strong enough to do screenshots.
Yeah,
they aren't. Yeah, no, it's ASCII.
Oh, it's ASCII.
Yeah. I make a beautiful ASCII representation of what's happening.
Yeah. All right. The captain also reading over the shoulder sees it and says, all right, Paul, get us out of here. Do what you can. Minimize damage.
Mm-hmm.
Oz, get to the guns. See what you can do about those bigger chunks.
Yes, ma'am.
Everyone else, either find some place to armor up and crouch down, or get ready to deal with damage. Or if you have any other ideas to get us out of this, now's your time. So I'm actually going to have us pause here. I wanted to establish the situation, but not dive into it. Because
that was a fantastic cliffhanger ending.
So we're all going to die.
Just stuff floating around. Everybody getting into positions. Dun. Perfect.
I'm very concerned about all those hails.
And don't worry, the mining laser and cannon, I think, are already on Paul's mind. I don't know what they're going to do.
All right.
All right.
But somebody remind me at the beginning of the next episode, because I'm going to forget that shit.
For sure. Yeah. I got it.
Cool. In my notes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good game, everyone.
Good game.
GG.
Having fun.
GG.
Xeno Attribute is a Primary Attribute spinoff. It has been brought to you by the people you just heard. Visit us at primaryattribute.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. Mothership is by Tuesday Night Games. Logo by Adam. Editing by Wit. Thank you all for listening.
With special guest star Radar the Cat as Campbell the Cat. Theme music is Igni by Scott Buckley, released under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. Check out his work at scottbuckley.com.au. We'll see you next time on Xeno Attribute.
Also, Moss, while we're interrupting the flow, Moss, real quick. Worried that was horrible shade, but Moss, real quick, what's your character's name? So I can actually write
Damir.
It down. Thank you.
It's D-A-M as in Moss, I-R.
Okay, so we got Oz, Paul, and Damir.
I'm going to keep thinking he's playing blue-black.
Say again?
Magic blue reference.
Black? Oh, oh, Damir. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I don't understand magic, and I refuse to learn.
No one blames you.
I learned to impress a boy in high school, and that's one of the most unnecessary things I've ever done.
Impressing a boy?
Boy was already impressed. I don't know what I was bothering with.
Never work to impress boys.
Honestly.
Work to devastate them.
There you go. Well, with this sage advice, we take to the stars.
Yes, we sure do.